All right. Well, I totally agree. I feel like I do everything better when my wife's with me. And there's no one I would rather be with than with my wife. And we enjoy each other. We really do. We're best friends. And we laugh. And we just have a great time together. Well, open up your Bibles if you would to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Of course, we attempted to put a theme to this week, totally committed. Totally committed. Following in his steps, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ committed himself. Chapter 2, verse 23. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. This word committed again means submitted, surrendered. Amen? And again, we're talking about God here. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen? And I said this, I think, yesterday. God is not asking us to do anything that he doesn't do. That's why we find this word likewise. I asked you to let that word stick last night. The word likewise. Because I'm just telling you, again, I really believe that a great portion of the battle that we face is the battle of right up here in our mind. How we define things. Listen, before our hands usually get involved in sin, it's been going on up here in our head for a while. Amen. Most of the time, there's been a wrestling match going on for quite some time. A very subtle battle, a battle that's been going on that may not be easy to detect, but it's been going on for quite some time. Listen, anytime somebody, I don't believe anybody decides one day, I think I'm just going to jump off into the deep end and backslide. I think there's been a progression. It's been going on in here. There's been some slipping of the thoughts. There's been a slipping of the mindset. How about this? A little wickedness, a little evil going on in our mind. That the mind has begun to be tainted with evil. We begin to be in disagreement with God, whether it be subtle or great. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not surely. Is it not a little one? And what a dangerous place to be when we allow those thoughts in our mind. And, of course, we could then look around and add to our little list. And I told my wife today, I'm having some cards made. I am. I think, and I'm going to leave some blank lines on the back for you to fill in. Of course, it ain't going to happen at this meeting, but it's a great idea if I ever do this again. I have a lot of great ideas after the fact.
That's good, bro.
No, listen. We've got to get get in agreement with God.
Yeah.
Amen. And can I just tell you that I'm so thankful today? Can I just say I'm thankful as a preacher of the gospel that I don't have. God didn't just give me a few things and then say, "Hey, figure it out. I want to watch how you do."
Yeah.
He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He hath given us his divine order or his will for our lives in the local church, in our homes, outside of the home, how we're to relate to each other in every aspect of life. Being Jesus, again, Jesus says this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. The second's like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself, as thyself. And so on these two, and I said this also, that there's two proving grounds for love. Two main areas. The local church. We get close. At least you're supposed to, amen? We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is.
Right.
Truth of it is, we're to come together even more as we see the day approaching.
Wow. Yeah.
Amen? We need more church, not less, and yet that seems to be... Yet that seems to be the theme of the day. is less church. Less services. Shorter services. That kind of thing. And yet, look at our country today. It's not better. And again, folks, I have been blessed to be here with you. You have a healthy church. I feel like I'm at home, man. I really do. I'll tell you, I feel like I pastor the greatest bunch of people on the planet. I love my church. I love them. They love me. I miss them. You know, I don't preach out much. Well, I don't get asked much, but I mean, and now you all know why. But here's the truth of it. I just love being home. Yes, amen. I like to be with my church family. That's one place. Here's the thing. And when because we are together, if you're faking it, right. It shows.
Yeah. Right.
You can't perform and be together this much,
right.
And the truth not come out.
Right.
Amen.
Good. Yeah.
Same's true in the home. Our homes are the proving ground of love.
That's good.
Listen, it's no great feat to go out here and spend your work day or school day or whatever it is and behave.
Yeah, right.
It's another thing to come home, and that's usually where it all comes unraveled.
Right.
Some of the most polite people I've ever met in public aren't so polite at home. Some of the most kind, serving, gentlemanly gentlemen I've ever known are just the opposite of that at home. And that's why so oftentimes when something bad happens, people are so shocked. It's because that's where the reality sets in. In that intimate relation, these intimate relationships. And the family, that closeness.
Right.
Okay? And it really does. It proves where we are.
Right.
Shows where our heart is. What's in there comes out.
Right.
Good and bad. Mm-hmm. The best and the worst. And if revival is going to really genuinely take place in our lives, we've got to get these two areas. Get honest in these two areas.
Right.
And we can never quit working on those areas.
Right.
So ladies, last night we looked at the influence of a godly wife. The influence. It's placed on the level, on this plane with the Word of God. What a beautiful thing it is. It's something that it's so beautiful it causes awe in those who see it. And it in the sight of God is of great price. It's trusting God. It's submitting to God. And so we talked about that last night. And we talked about how Sarah could have pulled out her card, amen? And she could have had quite a list of reasons why she could feel justified in not submitting to Abraham. I mean, I'm not going to preach that again, but it's... Honestly, it's a pretty sad testimony.
Yes,
we also talked about this, that Abraham was an old man, really, by the time all these things got figured out. Amen?
Right, amen.
And so, but here's the beauty of it. God's pleased.
Right. Right.
Listen, Abraham and Sarah are examples to us even today. Did they make mistakes? Yes, they did. But they didn't keep making mistakes. They were willing to change. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
And they continually submitted themselves. They continually committed themselves to God. They continually committed themselves to God. When God intervened in their life, they humbled themselves before God and they trusted God. And here's the thing. They trusted God more than they trust themselves, even though at times they tried to take charge. Okay, so let's pick up at verse number 7. Verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Here's that word, likewise. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for having met with us this week, and I'm asking God once again, would you give me preaching grace? Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, I just pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Likewise. And listen, here it is again. Likewise. Likewise, ladies. Likewise, men. Can I just tell you, being totally committed to God's way, listen, is a struggle for every one of us. Likewise.
Yeah, right.
Listen, it is. Listen, though the roles are different, it still is likewise a battle because we have a flesh and we have, listen, in the middle of sin, there's an I every time you spell it.
That's right, brother.
The middle of pride is an I. Why we would trust ourselves more than we would trust God? Boy, we gotta stop that. We need to abstain, amen? We need to say enough. I can't do this any longer. I gotta quit doing that. And be quick to catch yourself. Man, quick to catch ourselves. Boy, the moment we get out of line, you know, the moment you get out of line, ask God to forgive you. You know, here's my life verse. You kids know what a life verse is? You do? It's just a verse that, man, you kind of hang your life on. You know what I mean? It's just always, you always kind of come back to that verse. For me, it's 1 John 1:9.
Yeah, amen.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful.
Yes.
And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. See, Peter is one of my favorite guys in the Bible because I can relate to the guy a lot. Peter was a guy that tended to take things into his own hands or would like to. Think he'd get it figured out and be ready for action, even when it wasn't time for action. But he also, I believe, had a hard time forgiving himself when he failed. Remember when he forsook the Lord and denied the Lord, he went back to fishing. And this is just how I see it. It'd be like me saying, you know what, I'm going to go back to fitting pipe. I know what I'm doing there.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go put my welding hood on and at least I won't mess that up. This walking with God, this serving God thing, man, I tend to mess it up. Man, I'm not fit. I'm not even worthy to be able to serve God. Boy, I felt that way.
Right.
But, as a matter of fact, I came to a place like that early in my Christian life where, man, I'd gotten right with God personally. And I had to go back to work. And I got put with the very guy that I had treated so shamefully. And, man, I show up on the job site, and they put us together. And I wanted to just, I was so embarrassed. I had such guilt.
Good brother.
And he didn't like me.
and I'm trying to, man, I'm trying to take care of him. I'm trying to do everything I can to try to be kind and nice, and he is fighting me every step of the way. Finally, at about 2 o'clock, he says, "Let's just cut this out. You don't like me, and I don't like you. We both need a job. I don't think much of you as a craftsman or this or that, and you don't think much of me." I mean, he just laid it out there, and I was just like, devastated. I was like, "Lord, I don't know. I can't fix this." And all I could say was, "I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to tell him I don't feel that way, but he ain't buying it." And well, it gets worse. Got through the day, and the company I was working for, we were working out of town, and they would buy our motel.
Oh no.
Yeah, y'all know how this goes, right? So I go to the motel, get my key to my room, and check in, and I go to pull in front of my room, and guess whose car is sitting in front of that same room? His name's Katrino. Cat, we call him Cat. Cat's car is sitting in front of my room. And they would room us up. That's how they would do. I literally sat out there and thought, I can't do this. I just can't do this. Thing is, I don't even think I had enough gas money to get home. I was so broke. I mean, I hadn't had a job. And God put me through some things. And you ever do this where you're seeking an answer from God and have no idea where to look? And I just did one of these in my Bible. I just fanned through it and let it fall open, and I'm looking and looking and looking. I fanned my Bible through, and I fell on 1 John 1:9. And so I got down. I just sat there. I started weeping. I said, "Lord, I know you've forgiven me, and I'm thankful." And it was like he was encouraging me, "You need to let it go now. And you just need to go in there and ask him to forgive you again." And so I go and I open that door and I walk in and I start crying. And he's looking at me like, "Man, are you okay?" And I said, "Listen," I said, "Cat, I need to ask you to forgive me. I said, I feel so much guilt. I am so sorry for how I treated you. It was so wrong. I was so wicked." And I said, "Cat, I know this might not mean anything to you, but I am a different man today. I've been going to church and God's been working in my life." And I said, "Cat, I'm not who I want to be yet, but I know I'm not who I used to be."
Amen.
He starts bawling. He goes, "I'm a Christian too. I was raised in church."
Amen. Praise God.
"And I haven't been walking with God.
Amen.
My son's a juvenile detention center." We ended up on the side of the bed praying for his son.
Amen.
And I've worked with him. He's worked for me. Isn't that amazing? 1 John 1:9. If. Can I just say this? And this ain't even another thing I was going to say tonight, but if we're going to be totally committed, we've got to be willing to confess our sins. You say, "Man, can I say this?" And accept it. It's one thing to confess it. It's another thing to accept the forgiveness.
Amen.
See, we'd much rather, you know, have to work it off. You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember when I was a kid, my mom would give me an option of spankings or grounding. I'd say, "Spanking." I could take a spanking like a champ. Hey, it only hurts for a minute.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, sometimes a little longer than a minute, but you know, with me, I'd just as soon get it over with. I didn't want it dragging on and on and on. But you know what? I'm just, listen, a
Again, I didn't plan to say any of this tonight. It just, 1 John 1:9 is my life verse. I'm thankful for the God's forgiveness. Listen, we likewise struggle. We likewise have a hard time doing things God's way. We have a hard time not returning railing for railing. Truth of it is, here's how bad we are. We have a hard time being loving to people who love us. Men? Oh, that's what we're talking about. We're getting on the men tonight, remember? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. First of all, that means you dwell with them. That means you're with them. Listen, men, our wives were never intended to be just a stopping point to check in with once in a while. Hello, y'all with me? Let me say it again.
Amen.
It says to dwell with them.
Amen. That's good.
It means we spend time with them. I always tease and say that my wife, Trudy, is high maintenance. Now, some of you are laughing and you're going to think, oh, man, how dare he say that? And you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm talking about money or she needs this or, you know what I mean, she needs to be spoiled. You know what? Not at all. She is frugal. She's the frugal one in the family. I'm the spender. But she does need a lot of me.
It's good.
I've got three daughters. Okay? My middle daughter, Megan, is just like her mama in that way. She needs a lot of that kind of time and attention. My oldest daughter, She's maps out things and she busies herself. And I'm not saying she doesn't need it, but not like Megan. Megan requires a lot of her husband. My wife's that way. Now, here's the truth of it. I'm glad she's that way because I'm the kind of guy that I need to be needed.
Right.
I mean it. However, it also has been, in times past, a great source of problems in our marriage.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay? And so, I remember when my daughter Megan was getting engaged, and the young man, you know, they'd been courting, and he got to the place where he wants to marry, ask for permission to marry her, and anyway, they kind of had a long courtship in Bible college, and we were trying to kind of figure out how are we going to keep their relationship right, being they're both going to graduate, and that's 2 years down the road. How do we keep this thing? And so we kind of had to map it out, you know. Listen, you need to focus on your ministries. You need to focus on your ministries. You guys can spend this much time together and this kind of deal. You know, we mapped it out kind of, right? Because that's a long time.
Yes, sir. Right.
And so here's what I told Stephen. I said, let me just tell you something about my daughter. She is high maintenance like her mother. And he laughed. And I said, let me explain to you what I mean. She requires a lot of, let's just put it this way. She can accept that you're not with her all the time, but she can't accept if you're not thinking about her all the time. She kind of likes to know you're longing for her.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
She can have great peace as long as she, with you being gone and can take the time apart, but she needs to know that you're on her heart,
right,
that you're in her mind,
right,
that though you may not be there physically, you are there emotionally,
right,
and spiritually. Y'all with me?
Amen.
And listen, and I'm just going to tell you something. Every woman is built that way. Maybe not all to the same degree. I understand that. But listen, that's how God designed this thing.
That's right. Amen. Preaching.
So I told him this. I said, as long as you keep her in the know, what I meant by that was, as long as you'll just touch base and let her know that you haven't forgot about her, you're going to be okay. But you forget to do that? Exactly. She's going to be hurt
And when she gets hurt, she gets mad. Just like her mama.
Dwell with them. It means being there. Again, and you, that doesn't always, I'm getting this clear, doesn't necessarily mean physically.
Right.
Although, you'd better be there physically too.
Right.
But you don't have to be, you can't be there physically all the time, but you better be there.
Right.
In other words, it's not a disconnect, fellas.
Right.
And men, we're like this. Man, I am so tunnel vision, brother. I am. If I'm killing that snake, that thing's dying. When I'm at work, I'm all at work. I am just that way. Extremely that way. Like, I don't even hear you if you're talking to me if I'm on something. I can block the whole world out. I do that with my... And again, that's another thing, man. That's a hard thing. Man, I can't tell you, fellas, I don't want to try to be transparent. I don't count myself to have apprehended. I work at this. And listen, Trudy and I work at this in our understanding of each other and meeting each other's needs, and they change as we grow older. Listen, when the kids were all at home and we had all the kids, listen, she didn't need quite as much of me in that way. I mean, because she had other things she was focused with. But now that we're empty nesters, man, we just have each other. And yeah, we have our church ministries. We have a lot of going on, but still, something's got to fill that void in her life. Y'all with me? Now, my life in many ways stayed the same. Her life changed a whole bunch. I even remember when she was trying to figure out how to do that, and she's thinking, well, maybe I need to do this and do that. Man, panic hit my heart. I'm like, well, you're not going to be home there when I get home? No. There was some struggles both sides of this thing. I'm like, you don't think I can take... She wanted to get a job, and I was like, no, you can't. You got a job. An important job. Man, I tell you, that's another thing that gets under my skin. Somebody asked me, hey, Brother Plummer, your wife work? I always say yes. One of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And they'll say, well, what's she do? And I said, she takes care of our family. And I've had people say, oh, I mean a real job. And I said, well, you try taking care of this guy for 5 minutes and you tell me if that ain't a real job.
Right.
I'm Captain Destructo. I'm telling you, I'm a tornado. Everywhere I go, there's mess everywhere. Now listen, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And again, these things change. Knowledge means this, to know fully, to know, to follow. Carries the idea of pursuit. Can I just tell you, when I saw Trudy, those big brown eyes, I'm telling you what, man. Very first, I can tell you the first time I saw her. She was in kindergarten. She was wearing a dress with little turtles on it. Green. And she was the shortest, littlest girl in the class. And I was the shortest, littlest boy in the class. Oh, isn't that cute? Second time I remember seeing her, she rode my bus. She had a stocking cap with a giant ball on it. And she was super, super shy. And I tried to sit by her and talk to her, and she wouldn't even talk to me. The next time I remember seeing her, I was in the seventh grade, she was in eighth grade, and I saw those big brown eyes. And the man, I thought, oh, that's the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my entire life. When I moved back to Prosser when I was a freshman, she was a sophomore, and I saw her, there was no other girl in the whole school. And I was like, I am going to get her to talk to me. And she's super, super shy. She should have avoided me. I agree. I was a heathen. But I'll just say this. I pursued her. I was going to get to know her. Hello, y'all with me? And that's how courtship goes. Well, that don't stop what you say I do.
No, that's right. Amen.
Hello, y'all with me?
Amen.
No, you're to dwell with them according to knowledge. This word knowledge, again, means to know fully. to follow, to be aware of, to feel.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Listen, I know her so well, she don't have to tell me. I know when I'm getting out of balance in my home, she don't have to say it. You know, there are signs. Yet men will be stubborn and say, well, you just need to say. No, that's not what this means. Our wives shouldn't have to tell us everything. The truth of it is they don't want to have to tell you everything. You know why? Because they know that if you love them like you're supposed to love them, that, and listen, if you pursue them like you did pursue them at one time, then you're going to want to know. But, men, we get lazy. We think, well, man, I already got all that settled. I put a ring on your finger. I told you I love you last week. Knowing her. Hey, there's just some days she's just down. You know what? I mean, she needed a little more of me. And I'm just going to throw this in there. When you pray with your wife, y'all ought to pray audibly, because here's the truth of it. When you do that, that's how you get naked spiritually. Let me say that again. That's how you get naked spiritually. Go back to the garden. Listen, Adam and Eve in the garden. They were spiritually, emotionally, and physically. There was nothing hidden. I'm telling you, my wife prays out loud. I'm like, oh, I had no idea that was on her heart. Man, I had no idea she's been thinking about that. I had no idea. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Listen, it means to know, to follow, to be aware of, to feel. Giving. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving. Let me say that word again. Giving. You know, I bet a lot of men that would die for their family, they would die for their wife in a heartbeat. They would, no doubt in my mind about it. And I always say this to my men, if she's worth living, dying for, why is she worth living for? Our wives shouldn't be the last. She shouldn't be the one getting the leftovers. Give. Honor. Okay, what's this word? It means value. Highest value. Precious. Again, like I said, high maintenance means this. Listen, she's just got to know that I'm thinking about her. Listen, that there's no question in her mind that she is the most precious thing in my life. That's what honor means. That I love her. You know? I don't hunt much. I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't do a lot of things like that. You know why? Because I don't got a lot of extra time.
Right.
And when I do have extra time, and you know, I'm not saying that all that's bad. Please understand that. I didn't grow up doing it as a kid. You know what I mean? That's not a family tradition thing. I mean, I don't have that attached to my fondest childhood memories and things like that.
Right.
Like some. So I'm not saying that that's bad. But what I am saying is this. My highest value, I want to be with her.
Amen.
You know? I'm not constantly looking for something else to do other than be with her.
Right.
For me, work. I mean, I'm a busy guy. There's another thing. My wife can't run with me and survive. You know what that means? Often. And I'm going to just tell you, I've told you about Trudy had her stroke a few years back. And I'm going to tell you something.
I've said this to men over and over again. Don't wait until something like that happens to learn this lesson.
Right.
And I don't feel like I was really bad at that before, and she would say that. But can I just say this? I sure see holes in it. I do not like being away from her for 2 minutes.
It grieves my heart when I see men that just, man, it's like they want to be everywhere but with their wife.
That's right.
And like it's, you know, well, it's work. Like, if they've got to spend time with their wife, it's like some sacrifice. It hadn't ought to be so. And yeah, that means I don't go jumping off cliffs and climbing. I don't go to the mission field. You know, we're teasing about that, right? I would say I'd be a missionary if God would call my wife to the mission field, but he ain't called her yet. Hey, I went to the Philippines and preached a revival meeting over there. The day I landed, and that was right after 9/11. The day I landed there, they abducted those missionaries over there that they ended up killing. Well, I don't know none of this is going on. I'm having the time of my life, man. I preached for 9 days and 160 people got saved. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Invitations would last 2 hours. It was crazy. It was like Book of Acts type stuff. I was having a time of my life, but my wife's watching the news every single day, and all she's thinking is if they abduct my crazy husband, they're going to have to kill him.
Yeah.
Well, I get home. I didn't die. And she doesn't say anything to me about none of that. Okay? Well, a few years later, I get invited to go to India, where they're like stoning these people when they're getting baptized. Well, you know I want to go there. I mean, I was stoked. I'm like, what? I mean, real persecution? Oh, I'm in. I'm your guy. I'll preach that revival. And she's got an attitude. And I'm like, what's your problem? Anybody guys talk to each other like this? Say, what's your problem? Once in a while, she'll say, you. And I'd say, well, let's talk about this. She goes, this is what she said to me. There's no sense talking to you. You've done made up your mind. All you're going to do is talk me into it. So I don't even want to talk to you about it. Just go. And I'm like, I'm not going to go like this. Okay? So we had conflict for a couple weeks. I was getting mad at her for not wanting to talk to me and having an attitude. She's not wanting to talk to me, and she's upset with me. And finally, I just said, listen, we've got to talk about this. And I said, as far as I can see it, there's only two reasons why you have a problem with me going. I told you, she's the frugal one, right? So money was one of them. And I said, money is one. And I said, and that ain't stopping me. Or you're afraid. And that's okay. When I said that, she started weeping. And that's when she told me all that went on while I was in the Philippines.
Come on.
And how she felt like there was something wrong with her because she knows God would take care of her, but she's like, but I need you. And if they abduct you, they'll kill you. And I agreed. And I made her a promise that day. I said, I will never go to any place like that unless you have peace.
Amen.
Listen, I don't want to be the source of fear. I don't want to be the source of her not being feeling secure.
Right.
Hello, y'all with me? Yeah. That's totally in contrast to what God put me in her life for. And it was a sweet time for us.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with her for being afraid that way. And truth of it is, she's right. If they did abduct me, yeah, they'd probably kill me. They'd probably do it quick. No, no, let's just get this guy out of the way right now. He ain't got enough brains to be reasoned with. Hello, y'all with me? Honor. Her value is more value to me than I'm a thrill seeker. I'm not going to lie. Come on now. I can preach the gospel anywhere. I don't have to go to the deepest, darkest jungle, to the most dangerous place on the planet to do that. Honor. Listen, that she's of high value, that she's precious to me, most precious to me. More precious to me than me. Likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Get this. And as being heirs together. This word heirs together, they kind of go together. And this is what it means. Cheerful. It carries the meaning of being cheerful. Not, well, you know, heard a guy at work one time, he says, the kid was going to get married, and the guy says, I got advice for you, son. Get you two rings, one for your finger and one for your nose. Being a knucklehead. No, it's not supposed to be like that. But I'm going to tell you something, man, if you're in a place where it's like that for you, where it's like begrudging. It's like you're not cheerful. Oh, I'm not going to go hunting, or I'm not going to go to India and be killed, and I'm not going to go, y'all with me, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. I'm not going to take that job out of town where I'm gone for whatever. I'm not going to take that promotion that's going to take us away from each other or out of the house of God. Y'all with me? Here's the truth of it. My wife would rather have me than money. I mean, she don't want to be poor, but do you understand when it comes down to it?
Yes.
She needs me and wants me there, and I'm thankful. And here's the thing. I struggled with this as a young man. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be like, but I got stuff I need to go do. And I don't want, and here's the thing, it ruined some of the time we had. It ruins some of the days that I did set aside, because in my heart I wasn't cheerful. And she knew it. And it wasn't such a sweet time. Could have been. But it wasn't. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ came and He gave Himself for us cheerfully? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I always think of that verse where it says that He loved them to the end. And Judas was in the mix of that. He loved them. He gave. I'm going to tell you, that's what love does. Love gives. The question is where is the giving going? What are you giving yourself to? Man, preacher, 8 church members once in a while that worry about me. They think, Pastor, you work too much. You need to slow down. You need to do this. And this is what I always tell them. Safest place for me is busy. I'm going to be doing something. But in this area of loving my wife, I need to make sure I'm doing the right thing. And not just being there, not just dwelling, but doing it cheerfully. That there is no doubt in her mind that she's precious to me.
Amen.
And here's the truth of it. When she knows that, she'll give me to ministry, to she will share her time with other people. And she does a lot. Amen? Listen, even I had three girls, right? And all three of my girls needed a lot of daddy. And I love every second of it. Man, I'm bad. I could be bought easy. A little bit of affection, I'm toast. Them girls know it too. You know, people have pictures of stuff on my phone. I got a picture of my daughter Megan with her head on my shoulder. Got one of my daughter Lacey sitting on my knee, loving on me. I love it. You know. So just like, can I say this? So I tell men, and this is, I know this is about husbands and wives, but I say this, men, your daughters need your affection. And that their needs for that don't start the day they get married. They also don't end the day you get married.
Right.
And like I said, different stages in life have different priorities. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, when you got kids, man, you can't ignore them. You got to take care of them. No, I'm serious. So you're spreading your affection and your time. Amen? But can I just say, so it changes throughout life, and we've got to adapt to it that way. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. That means she's precious, amen, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together cheerfully of the grace of life. Listen, it's a gift. What a wonderful, wonderful gift it is. Man, I'm telling you what, I tell everybody, marriage is a wonderful thing. It doesn't have to be miserable, but it's going to be what you make it.
Right.
And here's another thing. You know, just like when I was coaching wrestling, man, I tell you, kids start struggling with wrestling a little bit, and they think that everything's got to have a 100% complete overhaul. And generally, it's just little simple little angle. You just need to adjust the angle of your wrist just a little bit. It's not the whole thing that's bad. Yeah, with me? In a marriage, I think that's similar that way. I think a lot of times it's not like, it can get to feeling like everything's broken and nothing's working. Yo, come on now. Everybody's failing. This thing is a mess. It couldn't get no worse. I mean, telling you, we can get to feeling like that, but here's the deal. Most of the time it's just a little attention to this detail or this detail. Maybe it's just the cheerfulness. Maybe when I am there, I need to make sure that I'm there and I'm not bitter about it and I'm enjoying it. Maybe I need to reach out a little bit more and let her know that she's precious to me. I just need to touch base with her and let her know that I'm thinking about her when I'm not there. Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
Maybe it is you do need to be there a little more often. You can text, 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 text. But after a while, she needs to see your face.
That's right. Amen.
You know, and I know, I'm not into all this love language stuff. I'm so sick of hearing about the 25 love languages. I want to puke. At the end of the day, it's this. There are different areas of how we show love and receive love. Again, I'm an affectionate guy. I hug on my wife. I kiss her. I'm affectionate physically. It's never been hard for me. I'm not that. My grandfather was that way. I'm that way. It's not hard for me. Okay, but I'll tell you what is hard for me. Hooking up the water to the ice maker on the refrigerator. Hanging that picture on the wall. Finish in the closet. So I had a man in my church, Brother Guzman. Brother Guzman had three girls, no boys. Brother Frank changes the oil, rotates their car tires. I mean, builds shelves, builds some fancy beds. He even kept the dryer running with roller skate wheels when they were poor. But the stuff's running, man. He takes care of his family. He loves his family that way, yet he can't say, I love you. He can't hug them. I mean, I'm not saying he can't. He just, it's not as strong. And so I remember I'm thinking about him, and I'm thinking, them girls just need, they just need their daddy to tell them, they just need a hug from their daddy. They just need him to just give them a hug and tell them he loves them. And as I'm thinking that, God's like, yeah, that's your strength. But you probably could learn every bit as much from Brother Frank as he could learn from you. So she went to a ladies' retreat, and I decided, I'm fixing. I had this refrigerator that had ice in the deal that didn't have no ice for like 2 years. Because here's the deal. I'm a pipe fitter. I can run pipe. I can run tubing. I can run all that stuff. Perfect. But that's the problem. I can't just hook it up. It's got to be a museum showpiece. Look like a NASA project. And that takes time. That takes a lot more time to do it like that, right? So she's gone, and I think, man, how would Brother Frank do this? Brother Frank would probably bore a hole through every cupboard in the house, and he'd have that thing hooked up, but it'd be hooked up, and no one would care about the holes in the cupboards. So that's what I did, and she was thrilled. Blown away. I'm pretty sure she cried. Which made me feel bad. Y'all with me?
Yes.
You know what area in your life you're not loving your wife like you should. Let's get committed. Amen. And not this. Show them. Just do it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Never been so scared my entire life as I was the day that she had her stroke. And she couldn't stand up. And she couldn't walk. It's easy to take each other for granted.
Sure.
Changed my life immediately. I didn't have a hard time being cheerful, being there for her.
Amen.
Hey, even with preachers, you feel guilty telling them, you know, I can't go to a preacher's meeting. I used to. I do not now. I could care less. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm not going to let the pressure from anybody, even my church folks.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. They didn't know always what was going on at home, her struggle. And they didn't always understand. And used to, I'd struggle with that kind of thing. I do not no more.
Good.
At all. They don't have to understand. I want to, and this is another thing Trudy used to say to me. Can't we just grow old together and be happy? Good. I guess even part of me, even with the aging process, I thought if I stay busy and busy, 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 that never happened to me. Just vanity, man. Just be honest. Just vanity. But we've got to be honest enough to say this, that likewise, we struggle. That likewise, maybe some area of this, maybe it's just, I'm not following, I'm not pursuing her like I should. I'm not committed to doing that. I've not been doing a very good job of making sure that I honor her, that she knows that she's precious, most precious to me. Maybe it's just the area of cheerful. The grace of life, you don't see it as a gift. And it is a gift. What a wonderful gift. Don't neglect it, fellas. Don't neglect your wife. My kids. I've got a young couple that moved from, they were from New York. They grew up in New York on Long Island, where my son-in-law's from. And Amanda was my daughter Ashley's, my oldest daughter's roommate in Bible college. Before she even met us, she always wanted to know about Ashley's parents. And this is what Amanda has given this testimony in our church numerous times. She goes, even before I met the Plumleys, all that Ashley would tell me is, you've never seen two people more goofy in love in your life. Amen. They adore each other.
Good. Amen.
And that's a blessing to hear. But it brings conviction to my heart every time I hear it.
Yes.
Because I know there have been many times that I wasn't loving my wife like God commands me to.
Amen.
Don't neglect it, fellas. Here's the truth of it. You can't really afford to not. It says this here. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Get this, that your prayers be not hindered. Ain't that something? You mean this affects my fellowship with God? Yes. Yes. It's a funny thing. When I first started dating Trudy, my dad did not like her because I quit wrestling when I met her. And it wasn't her fault I quit wrestling. It's because that's a long story. But he just did, and she's quiet. And I guarantee when she came to my house, she was terrified. She, you know, thought she was going to some scary movie, you know. I mean, my dad loves her more than me and has for a way long time. And my dad has numerous times in the 36 years we've been married told me, boy, you thank God for that girl.
Amen. Amen.
Of course, he'll say she's the best thing that ever happened to me. And she is next to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, it does affect your fellowship with God. Likewise. Ladies, yesterday, remember? Your part. Likewise. Men, husbands, likewise. Kids, I'm going to get you guys tomorrow.
Amen.
No. Listen, honestly. How we are, listen, our commitment to doing things God's way, when we're in disobedience, affects our fellowship with God. Again, go back to the garden. Here's the thing. It's not that God runs from you. It's that you run from God.
That's right.
You start hiding, and you start being busy covering your own self rather than serving Him.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
It's just so destructive. And we're living in the day. Listen, the devil hates a godly marriage. Hates it. You know. He hates a healthy church. And he'll attack it with everything he can. Do it God's way. Be committed. Amen. Be committed. Make a commitment. Hey, wherever you are, you know where you're at. Which of these areas, have you been neglecting? And again, maybe some husbands need to apologize to your wife. And I'd say absolutely you need to. But listen, don't let it just be words. Don't let it just be words. Live it. Live it.